Hey, it's Lisa Carlin from Attacking Third to tell you about the all-new Hyundai 2024 Santa Fe. It's equipped with everything you need to break free from the dull work week and embark on an adventurous weekend. The Hyundai Santa Fe features available all-wheel drive, standard third-row seating, plus available dual wireless charging pads, ensuring that you can take on any adventure. It's ski season, and with the all-new Hyundai 2024 Santa Fe, I can easily load the car with all my gear plus my friends in the third row and make it right to the base of the slopes with all-wheel drive. Learn more about the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe at HyundaiUSA.com. Call 562-314-4603 for complete details.
Hello and welcome to another episode of Attacking Third, a CBS Sports Soccer podcast. I'm Sandra Herrera, lead NWSL writer for CBS Sports, joined today as always by my colleague and co-host, Lisa Roman, broadcaster and analyst for CBS Sports. On today's segment, we have a news and notes episode for you all and a NWSL Challenge Cup power rankings update. We're going to get into all that and more. But first, a quick reminder to follow us on Twitter for all news and updates at Attacking Third. And we also have a TikTok and an Instagram now. So follow us across all three platforms at Attacking Third for highlights, cool graphics, breaking news, and so much more. And you can also watch us on as video at youtube.com/attackingthird. Lisa, power rankings, NWSL Challenge Cup semifinals, news and notes across the league. We got to get through it. How you doing today? How is it?
It's pretty good in Philly. We're entering the spring weather that's consistent. It's not like 61 day, 40 the next day. We're pretty consistently at the mid 60s here. And frankly, I love that. The flowers are in bloom. It's a good day here in Philadelphia. It's a good day across the league. A lot of news to touch on, a lot of updates happening. And this is the part of the NWSL year, I'm going to say, that it all comes together as a perfect storm because the regular season starts this weekend. We have Challenge Cup semifinals happening next week. And then the Challenge Cup final, it's all happening right now. Sandra, how are you? I love that hat. It looks pretty cool.
Listen,
I'm here for it.
For the folks who aren't following us on YouTube, if you only prefer your content in the audio sense, Lisa's rocking the stripes on the shirt. I'm rocking stripes on a hat. It's just like when we didn't plan it. I just need everybody to know that this was not planned. It was just one of those things where we're like, let's get ready to do this show. And then we just showed up as we were. I love it when that happened. The best plans are the spontaneous, unplanned things. So I love it. But I'm doing okay. I can't say it's the same vibe in Chicago. I mean, there's been a week here where we've had like 70 degree days. And then here we are recording this. And today it's like 40 degrees outside. So it's like, it's tough. We're still battling. It's a tug of war. It's a spring tug of war in Chicago a little bit, but feeling cozy because I get to hop on the mic, be with you, talk about all things NWSL. Honestly, talk about things globally, you know, quite frankly. We're going to actually kick things off with some UWCL action. Let's talk about some news first before we get into some deep NWSL Challenge Cup power rankings. New attendance record in France. PSG Feminine announced that they have sold 31,400 tickets for their upcoming UWCL semifinal against Olympique Lyon at Parc des Princes. The previous record was 30,611. So breaking a record. And listen, we love to see it. UWCL this season has been a real joy to watch for a number of reasons, but some of the scenes that have been coming out of here have just been really breathtaking for lack of a better word. It's just to see where we are now versus where we were a couple years ago, empty stadiums. It's a real joy to sort of see this happening.
It really is. And the teams are just doing so well and it's creating so much buzz around it. I mean, this tickets for the OL game versus PSG is That's huge. I mean, that is huge. Show up. It's about so much of the broadcast and watching it and following it, but going to the games, right? I mean, we just talked about that on Monday with Lori Lindsay on our USWNT hour. Go to these games, watch these athletes, show up for them, tune in. If you can't get to a game, if it's overseas, watch them online, watch the NWSL, because when we look at the UEFA Women's Champions League, we got PSG, Lyon, Barcelona, Wolfsburg, but Barcelona is, they're on fire right now. I mean, this is so fun to watch. It's a really good time for women's football. It's a really good time for women's football.
Yeah, it was cool to sort of see this get announced. Like, honestly, just before we kind of hopped on to get together and start chatting about this. And it was like, oh, like this is a fun thing that we could touch on at the top of the episode here before we start getting into some other things. So we'll see. This is going to be for the second leg of the semifinals. So Barcelona and Wolfsburg and PSG versus OL, this is going to be the second legs for these semifinals. So the matches are going to determine the two finalists to go head to head for the official Champions League title. So we'll see how it shakes out, and I'm sure we'll be keeping an eye on things and giving the audience an update there. Let's jump back into things stateside. NWSL news, some fun event changes or new announcements to be made in terms of the soccer event side of things. Orlando Pride and Racing Louisville announcing that they're going to play the first ever NWSL match in an American racetrack. First ever Daytona Soccer Fest. Going to be playing a match at Daytona International Speedway, the home of the annual Daytona 500 race. It was a July 2nd match, moved now to Sunday, July 3rd at 8 p.m. Eastern. It's going to be airing on CBS Sports Network. So check it out if you get a chance. It's going to be a grass field between pit road and tri oval. There's a lot of different components coming in here. It's going to be an evening match. There's a Legends game that's going to be taking place at 3 p.m. There's going to be a pregame concert that takes place in the concert next to the game field. And then on top of that, the night's going to end with some fireworks ceremony. So there's a lot of cool things happening around this event that I don't think people were prepared for. To see. I mean, we're going to have Chance the Rapper as part of this event doing the pregame concert. There's going to be a pregame before that. There's going to be Latin Grammy Award winner Raul Alejandro.
It's a whole weekend event. It's this Daytona Soccer Fest. It's an entire event, and it's all the marquee event is circling around Orlando Pride versus Racing Louisville at the Daytona 500 racetrack. Definitely history being made. I mean, a Chance the Rapper pregame for these athletes as they get to warm up, because from my understanding, reading the press release and everything that came out, Chance the Rapper will be performing right next to the soccer field. So instead of the pregame music being played through the speakers at the system, it's going to be Chance. So that's pretty sweet. These players are going to be hyped for this game.
I think, you know, it's the first time that something like this has ever been done. So like when I first saw it roll out, I was like, wait a minute, they're going to play a what in a where and a how? Like, and so like seeing more details about it kind of roll out, it was kind of exciting. I mean, one way to look at it is it's a new field that's being constructed for this event, and I think that sometimes that rings some bells for people who have been in the space for a long time. But I think knowing that they're not trying to cram a soccer pitch onto a baseball field is a little bit of a different energy in this event. A lot of excitement looks like it's coming out of this announcement. So something to look forward to or ahead to in the summer, because again, this game is going to be taking place on July 3rd. So we will be checking that out. Then we are still getting some jersey reveals as Challenge Cup group play has ended. And now the regular season for NWSL is kicking off. Kansas City Current with the new jerseys unveiling their away kit, a white jersey, referring to it as the electric kit. So as we've got some images on our YouTube here, with it's an all white kit with some teal and red accent, which is pretty much their like trifecta of their color scheme, right? Along with navy within the crest there. So referring to, honestly, when I saw this, I was like, they're referring to it as the electric kit. That sounds dangerous. Yeah. What happens when you mix water and electricity? You die. And I'm like, you know what? I respect it. Maybe that's what they're trying to go for here, and still fear in your opposition.
I think that's exactly what they're going for. I mean, these kits are pretty cool. We like to chat about them as they get rolled out from all the different clubs. And each club we've seen having a little nod to the 10th year in the NWSL. Although Casey Current, this is only its, I'm going to say, 0.5 year. Well, yeah. Second year, because they weren't KC Current last year. Just half of the very last game in 2021 is when they were Kansas City Current. But that's hilarious about the electric kit and the current. Yeah, you're going to get electrocuted.
Look, I can't be the only one who thought that. I was like, wait a minute. Kansas City Current is wearing an electric kit. Like, oh my goodness. Prepare to die, opposition. Yeah, I like it. I like kits that are coming out with like detailed accents like this. It's tough, I think, when you have like your away kit, because we're starting to see that there's certain protocols in terms of jerseys when it comes to match day scenarios. If you're the away kit, it has to be a predominantly white kit, you know, going up against the home side that is going to have, you know, the more bold colors and stuff like that. But it's nice to sort of see these teams coming out here with these kind of twists on the white kit, kind of having these accents in there. So we've seen the Red Stars with their skyscraper kit kind of having some blue accents in there. Angel City, right, with their Sol Rosa kit, kind of killing it. And now we've got Kansas City with their electric kit. But they weren't the only ones to announce, you know, some wearable, flashy things. No. The Washington Spirit made the announcement that that their championship rings have now been unveiled. And listen, these are dope. Let me see more of this. I love it. I love seeing the jewelry, the drip, all of it come out for these players. And, you know, after such a long, grueling season, getting to see a look at the ring, they've got all kinds of cool details on it. The date of the championship, when it was won. Inside the ring, they've got the final scoreline, 2-1 over the Red Stars. It's going to have the player name, number, right on the side of it. And then the NWSL trophy on it as well. And, of course, you've got all the ice within it as well. So I like these. I think they look pretty nice.
Ooh, these are really sharp. I like them. I'm excited to see them on the players, because that's when you can tell exactly how big the championship ring is. And this one looks pretty big. It looks to be a lot of diamonds. As Sandra mentioned, we're throwing up these images on our YouTube. So if you're not watching and just listening as a podcast, you can head on over to YouTube and take a look at the Washington Spirit 2021 NWSL championship ring. The one that the team showed off on Twitter features Kelly O'Hara's ring, because it has her name on it. I think the score line being engraved in the inside of it is just
very cool.
Very, very, very cool. They even have the Red Stars logo in there.
I know. So, like, that's nice, I guess.
Yeah, I guess Washington wants to remember who they beat.
Hey, why not?
I thought that was a little bit interesting, though, that it says like the entire Chicago Red Stars logo, not just like CRS. I'm not sure, but to each their own. I like it. It looks pretty great. I mean, any championship ring is a pretty sweet thing to have. So congratulations again, Washington Spirit. It's also fun because, of course, they won this NWSL championship in November, and they get rings now. So like the fanfare continues. There's a big ring ceremony that'll happen. The celebration goes on. It's nonstop for the Spirit.
Yeah. I mean, that's part of the perks, right? That's part of the perks of being the victors, being the champions. You get to celebrate it forever, quite frankly, in my opinion. So congrats once again to the Spirit on getting some fresh new drip with the rings, championship rings. And you know what? They are a team on the hunt to collect some more hardware. The Challenge Cup semifinals are now set. There was a little bit of confusion, and we'll talk about some logistical things right now for Challenge Cup updates. We've got the final four in place for Challenge Cup semifinalists. Ole Reign will be facing off against Washington Spirit. So you've got your number one seeded team against your number four seeded team. But there's a little bit of a twist here. There was some scheduling conflict that came into play. And unfortunately, the number one team in Oil Rain will not be hosting this match, kind of losing some home field advantage here, and will be playing away, as a matter of fact, in Segra Field in Leesburg, Virginia, at 8 p.m. Eastern on CBS Sports Network. Lisa, let's talk about this a little bit before we go into the second match. Quite frankly, when the Challenge Cup schedule got announced, we noticed right away there was some overlap, how that was going to look alongside with the regular season schedule in terms of matches kind of having some overlap there with May games happening on May 4th, a Challenge Cup final eventually taking place on May 7th, and then the regular season kicking off this week on the 29th, and then moving on and so forth. And there's a weekend slate of games for May 7th as well. So the believe it or not, the conflict with this wasn't so much that there was overlapping in the schedule. It was that other events are being held in the facilities in which these two teams typically play. And so for OL Reign, they announced ahead of their 2022 season, made a big headline saying that they're going to be playing their games at home in Lumen Field, which is the home of NFL's Seattle Seahawks, MLS Seattle Sounders, and now also OL Reign. Now, unfortunately, there is a Champions League match, CONCACAF Champions League match that's going to be played against the Sounders and Pumas UNAM, and that is taking precedence because that has been scheduled. It's a big championship final game. So all of a sudden, there was a little bit of a rush to try to find out, as it started to come into picture a little bit, that OL Reign might be advancing into the semifinals. The league announcing, making a very quick kind of announcement that, hey, if for whatever reason the home side is unable to find a venue that works, we have to try to find other alternatives. And apparently, the other alternative is Segra Field, not Audi Field, the MLS facility for DC United, but Segra Field, Lisa.
I mean, there's just so many chain of events of all of this happening because, yes, OL Reign hosting and supposed to be at Lumen Field, which is where the Sounders play, the Seahawks play. And because of that conflict, immediately you would think initial gut reaction is, okay, what about Cheney Stadium, which is where OL Reign played every single home game last year. But it's a baseball field that was converted into a soccer field, and in the new CBA signed February the eve of preseason in 2022, teams can no longer play on baseball fields converted into soccer fields. So Cheney Stadium off the table for this match, and now OL Reign having to scramble and say, okay, can we travel to Washington, D.C., which that's a heck of a travel when you're coming from Seattle, Washington, Tacoma, Washington. So really losing that home field advantage and then not even being able to play at Audi Field, another scheduling conflict there. There's an all-day event happening at Audi Field. So Washington Spirit says, okay, what about Segra Field? And Segra Field is in Leesburg, Virginia. It's where Washington has played a number of their games before. If you remember earlier in the Challenge Cup at the end of March, there was a bit of a Twitter war happening when Gotham played Washington Spirit and Ashlyn Harris clapping back saying that the Washington Spirit's playing on a, quote, high school field, I believe is the terms that Ashlyn Harris said. She was referring to Segra Field. So there has been issues in the past about Segra Field, whether they didn't have locker rooms, so teams couldn't play there in 2021 regular season. A game between Washington and Houston got moved from D.C. to Houston to play there because of the lack of facilities at Segra Field. And now Segra Field coming to a bit of a rescue. We'll see. We'll see how that plays out on May 4th for the semifinal. Yeah.
There's a little bit of an angle here in which, you know, folks are maybe looking at that the fact that the Spirit actually don't have a great record in the games that they've had at Segra Field. And maybe the one silver lining here is the fact that both of these teams actually have a regular season game to play amongst each other, as well as this Challenge Cup semifinal. So let's just get all the teams in one centralized region, I think was maybe sort of the underlining positive in this one. But we'll see how it shakes out. I'm sure there will be further details or other updates to happen with this main semifinal. But there are two other semifinalists.
So, Sarah, I just got to say, I know that you're going to try to cut me off. We got to keep this short. We got to keep it a tight episode. But maybe in the future, we could just pick a neutral location.
That, you know what,
you can secure the venue, you can secure the time, you already have the broadcast time set up. You know,
spitballing. We're just spitballing here. We'll see. Challenge Cup has shown us that if it is nothing else, it is something that has evolved over the three times that it's been in existence. But for this one, the second round of semifinals will be against the number two seeded Kansas City Current number two Kansas City Current against North Carolina Courage at Children's Mercy Park in Kansas City at 10:30. No, this one is at 8:30, and Washington Spirit and Ole Reign. There's going to be some overlap here, so sorry, everybody. But this game is going to be featured on Paramount Plus, and the two winners of these two semifinals are going to be going head-to-head on May 7th on CBS Television Network. So all of the matches for the international fans, you can catch those on Twitch. But some things to take a look at here, and I'm sure we're going to take a deeper dive into this Challenge Cup final with some things that we're working on, some special exciting things that we'll announce at a later date. So we're going to have a full Challenge Cup, semifinal preview for all of you at a later time. But we just wanted sort of to give the scope of the final four teams here at the moment. But we've got some power rankings that we want to go through to close out the episode. And we're going to do that after a quick break.
Finding the right cleat can be transformative. Believe me, I've worn plenty during my career. So getting the right balance is crucial. The cleat needs to feel good on your foot, but also feel good connecting with the ball. The New Balance Furon 7 Plus is built with both of those points in mind, offering overall comfort and precise striking in the game's fastest moments. Because, as I learned the hard way, because I didn't possess much of it, speed matters in soccer. That's why the Furon 7 Plus is built for accuracy and precision at rapid pace, and is engineered specifically for use on firm ground. Why is this the ideal cleat, I hear you ask? Well, not to get too scientific, but the Furon 7 Plus offers a lightweight yet supportive hypo-knit with mesh lining upper construction and is paired with offset lacing for a truer strike of the ball, which is a long way of me saying that your game will immediately get better when these are on your feet. Learn more and purchase the Furon at newbalance.com.
Did you know that while over 60% of Americans dream of starting their own business, less than 20% of them take the first step? The reason? Building a business is tough. Tailored Brands is simplifying the business journey. From launching and managing to growing your business, Tailored Brands isn't just another tool. It's your online business partner from launch to success. With Tailored Brands, building your dream business becomes an effortless experience. Their comprehensive platform guides you through every step, ensuring you have everything you need in one place. From LLC formation to bookkeeping, invoicing to acquiring licenses and permits, and even setting up your bank account, Tailored Brands handles it all seamlessly. And our listeners will receive 35% off Tailored Brands LLC formation plans using our link, taylorbrands.com/CBS Sports. That's TAILORBRANDS.com/CBS Sports. So start your business journey today with Tailored Brands.
Power rankings. Listen, we've got our final four here, the Challenge Cup semifinalists. So you can imagine, Lisa, when I was putting together this sort of final wave of Challenge Cup specific power rankings, how the top four probably shook out for me. There wasn't a lot of change for the kind of top three. I still had Ole Reign number one, Washington Spirit number two, North Carolina Courage number three, got Kansas City Current at number four. So those are the big four there, right? When we're looking at five all the way through 12, this is who I've got shaking out in terms of the power rankings. I've got Portland Thorns at number five, Chicago Red Stars at number six, San Diego Wave FC at number seven, Houston Dash at number eight, Racing Louisville at number nine, New Jersey, New York, Gotham FC at number 10, Angel City at number 11, and Orlando Pride at number 12 to close out these power rankings. Maybe a little bit different in terms of what I was going through in terms of the thought process of ranking these out for the previous power rankings, Lisa, because I kind of jumbled some things around a little bit. I think, Angel City for me closing out their Challenge Cup with a win, warranted them jumping up a spot. And, Orlando Pride, while I was, happy for them to see them get a draw and close out their Challenge Cup with a result, it was a tough tournament for them. The only club in the entire group stage that was unable to pick up a win during this Challenge Cup. So I kind of switched some things around there. But a number of teams, I had them jump up a couple spots, like San Diego and Houston. A couple teams dropped down a couple spots, Louisville, Gotham specifically. But yeah, I think in terms of Challenge Cup, in terms of the top three, top four, not a lot changing there for me.
I like your top four because and they're headed to the semifinals. I tried to pick a fight and argue about some of these. I honestly did because I wanted to. OL Reign, yeah, they're number one. They have to be. They did so well throughout this Challenge Cup. Washington Spirit at number two and North Carolina Courage at number three. I wanted to flip these. My gut reaction was North Carolina Courage should be number two. However, when I reflected on the most recent match between Washington and North Carolina, it came down to a 2-2 draw between these two sides. Three penalty kicks called in this match. Ashley Hatch buries one. Dabinia buries one, but Dabinia misses her second. And that, looking purely at just the chances created and the opportunities, Caroline had a shot off the car that was incredibly close. North Carolina should have won that game, frankly. So if Dabinia scored that second penalty kick, maybe if Caroline's shot went in, got past Aubrey Kingsbury, Washington Spirit goalkeeper, things would have looked different. But because that didn't play out, I agree Washington deserves to be a notch above North Carolina heading into the semifinals. We saw them play twice in the Challenge Cup, 2-2 draws both times. So pretty evenly matched, but opportunities given and taken advantage of. Going to give the upper hand to Washington Spirit there. And then Kansas City Current in number four. I just love this. I love this. As an expansion side last year, coming in, making their way to the Challenge Cup semifinals, getting in well on their own. I think they did a fantastic job. The middle of these standings between number five and number nine, Portland Thorns, Chicago Red Stars, San Diego, Houston, and then Racing Louisville. I like how this shook out. Racing Louisville being above Gotham, Houston Dash being above Gotham. I think that says a lot about Gotham and how poorly they played throughout the Challenge Cup, frankly. And then looking towards the bottom of these standings, Angel City getting that win in the very last game over a team like Portland Thorns. I almost wish it could have jumped them up two spots and we could put Angel City at 10, Gotham at 11 and Orlando Pride at 12. But I think that keeping Gotham at 10 is a good call because they end on a draw against Orlando Pride in their Challenge Cup group play and Angel City getting that first win. But the play that we saw from Angel City in that final match of the Challenge Cup group stages was really good. They kept possession of the ball. They were moving it around. They looked like a cohesive team being able to play against a powerhouse in Portland Thorns. And I was really impressed with what Freya Coombe, Kristen Press, Savannah McCaskill, June Endo, all of those Angel City players were able to put forth. And Orlando Pride falling to number 12 in these power rankings. These essentially are how these teams ended the Challenge Cup. Maybe I would switch around a Chicago and Portland or a San Diego and Chicago. That middle chunk is the only one that maybe it's so close all in those middle standings. And it's so hard when these teams didn't play against everyone. So the regular season to come, I don't think that this is what the standings are going to be at come October, right? Come the end of September. But it is sure fun to look at how far these teams have come in the past 2 months playing in the 2022 Challenge Cup.
And it's just a little, I mean, look, it's just a little bit different when you're kind of taking a look at play in a competition, a mini tournament, right? That's taking place ahead of a regular season. And there's still this sort of perception of that it's kind of coming out of preseason, so it still kind of has those vibes. And operating in a group stage play is a little bit different than navigating a long, you know, week-to-week kind of regular season. So I'm curious to see maybe the difference, not just in, like, the actual standings, but sort of where we kind of shake things out for things like power rankings over the course of a regular season versus a small mini tournament. I think unlike the unlike the previous episode that we did where we were talking about power rankings and we felt pretty confident in the top three and even confident in the bottom three, yeah. But had some different, you know, arguments for the middle. Whereas like with this one in the final, you know, match day group stage results, we were like, yeah, this kind of feels right where we're going to go with that energy. I mean, we were looking at certain teams to end with strong finishes, right? Even teams that didn't necessarily were eliminated from advancing into these semifinals. We were looking for strong individual performances, collective team performances, full 90-minute type of performances from these teams. So sort of seeing, like, you know, the positions from 8 through 12 kind of shake out how they did, it's you know, teams really that were eliminated from advancing into the knockout round. So it's like, how are we going to shake things out? And, you know, dropping Gotham, even though they ended up coming away with a goal or with a draw in that final match against Orlando Pride, you just expect that team and the talent that they have on it to look a little bit different against a team that has a lot of injuries and is going through a rebuild. And it just didn't stand out for me. And they're walking away from the Challenge Cup, you know, as former 2021 runners up, you know, and not in this year, not advancing even into the semifinals. And they're closing out this Challenge Cup with 5 goals, which is ultimately a second to last finish.
That's not good.
In the category, they are the only other team that got less goals was Orlando Pride in this Challenge Cup. So this is something I think that they're obviously going to work on as they continue to move forward into the regular season. But we're looking at teams even, you know, like Houston and Racing, you know, being able to produce a couple more, you know, 8 and 7 goals respectively for those teams. So, well, we'll see what happens. I would love to, you know, continue. We're going to continue these going on through Attacking Third. And as the regular season progresses, power rankings are fun because we get to talk about all kinds of different things and throw out all kinds of different data as to why we see who and where. But Final Four going into the semifinals is OL Reign, Washington Spirit, Kansas City Current, and North Carolina Courage. We are going to have so much more. Thank you all so much for listening to Attacking Third. You can follow us on Twitter and now on TikTok and Instagram at Attacking Third for so much more. We're on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, and anywhere you listen to your podcast shows. We're also available as videos. Subscribe to us on YouTube. Visit youtube.com/attackingthird. If you have any questions for us, you can leave us a 5-star review on Apple Podcasts with your question, and Lisa and I will answer it during one of our mailbag segments. And we will be back Friday with a preview as NWSL regular season action starts. For Sandra Herrera and Lisa Roman, this was Attacking Third.
Now streaming on Paramount Plus. Gather your besties.
We are very exclusive.
And get ready.
Mom, go make snacks.
For sure, Regina, yeah.
For the movie that hits like a bus. In a good way.
No one died.
Mean Girls. Rated PG-13. Now streaming on Paramount Plus.